Okay, we're finally back in the actual studio with the one, the only, Spencer Wilton.
I gotta check my hair real quick. Hold on.
Kind of looks like you stuck your finger in a light socket.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's what I'm going for. It's pretty, the style these days.
Pretty clean. I'll give it to you. It's pretty clean.
It's the style.
Bunch of people are like, who is this guy? We've done a lot of sled stuff. You're almost a sledder now, kind of.
Yeah.
But your background is primarily hard enduro, huh?
Yeah, hard enduro, enduro cross. I mean, honestly, just I'll ride anything.
Yeah.
Anything with, even like, yeah, I'll ride anything. Bikes, quads, anything.
I'm going to throw you off a little bit because I actually want to know the story, like getting into it. Did you start with just going to the track and racing and eventually transition into the hard enduro stuff? Or?
Yeah, so I started racing moto, and if you watch Supercross, they have those little 50 kids out on the track.
Were you one of them?
I was a 50 kid on the track in Supercross.
Was your dad screaming at you?
I don't think he actually might have screamed at me because I did that, and I was in third, and I tried to do, like, I tried to double a whoop or a braking bump, and I cased it and crashed, and I went from third to fifth. So, I like, and if you got on the podium, Aaron Bates, the announcer at the time, would give you a kiss on the cheek. So, and I had a huge crush on her, so I really wanted the kiss on the cheek.
I'm glad you emphasized it was her. When you said Aaron, I was thinking it was a dude.
No, so it's a girl announcer, and she kissed you on the cheek if you won. And, like, for a seven-year-old kid, that's a big deal. That would have been my first kiss. That would have been my first kiss. So yeah. I really wanted it. And on live TV. Yeah. So I really wanted it, and I blew it. And then from there on, raced moto growing up till, like, 65s, and then it just got dangerous. I mean, it's high speed, and yeah. I'm jumping and crashing into other people. So parents pulled me out of it, and we started doing just local enduro stuff. And, yeah, it's where the enduro career started. And
yeah.
I always thought moto was so much cooler, though, like, growing up, because, like, you can't see somebody whip a bike and not think it looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, it just the looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was always, like, super intrigued on, like, the whips and stuff, and I've always wanted to learn how to do it, and my parents would only let me ride enduro, and then I rode it till I was like 15 16, and then once I got my license and turned 16, there was some local moto stuff, and I started getting back into the moto. I would go to the track, and I'd go on the weekend.
Did your parents know about it?
They knew a little bit, but like, they would show up and they'd be like, "You're not racing," and I'm like, yeah, I signed up, like, I'm racing, and I just go race the local moto stuff. And then I just started, as soon as I got my license when I was 16, I started not going to the trails every weekend, and I was going to the moto track with my buddies in Calgary, and I just wanted to learn how to whip, honestly, so.
But the hard enduro stuff, you kind of found a spot for yourself in that, because, like, you went from, well, shit, dude, I saw you, how did I come across you originally? I think YouTube.
Yeah.
When you started up the vlog.
Yeah, so I just joking around started a vlog. And then now I'm actually, like, I joke around with the other racers because I'm one of the only racers that's doing YouTube stuff.
Yeah, so like, consistently.
Consistently. So I kind of just joke around. I'm like, I'm not a racer. I'm a vlogger. Like, you guys just got beat by a vlogger. Like, I just pretend like I don't train, but I'm definitely still on, like, the racer program. And
it's fun, though, because it adds a new twist to, like, enduro. Because, like, US Hard Enduro does a really cool recap, but it's, like, it's got to be serious, understandably.
No,
because they want to put it on the map in, like, a legitimate form of racing. But then you go on your channel, it's, like, the behind the scenes. Like,
dude.
Everybody's just buddies goofing off and, like, wrenching on bikes last minute and giving each other hard time during, like, the practice sessions or whatever. Like, it's just relatable.
That's kind of like, it's like more of like the, just like the regular, like the pros do the same stuff that the that just regular riders do.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool just to, like,
show
us doing, like,
stupid
stuff. And we're just like, I don't know, just whatever, walking the track, goofing off. And
because I'd be, like, terrified to talk to Tristan Hart before I saw him on your video. And I'm like, oh, he's just a normal dude.
Yeah.
Now I feel like, because of watching your stuff, I could just go up and BS with him.
But yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, the vlogging is, like, so much extra work, but it's so worth it, I think. Like,
you getting a reputation for it around the race circuit?
Yeah, it's like, that's why I always joke about it. I say, I'm not a racer, I'm a YouTuber. Yeah. And then, like, I feel like the other pros are actually kind of bummed when they get beat by me, because they're like, oh, they're like, man, we got beat by that guy. They're like, all he does is party and make YouTube videos. But they don't see the backside. I just post, like, it's just what people see what I post.
Yeah.
They don't actually see what's going on.
Yeah. I see your program. You crash at our house all the time, and you're wrenching. And I was joking with Hannah the other day. I'm like, it's kind of like we all just go to work. Like, Hannah goes to work, I go to work, Spenny goes to the track, practices, we get home, how's everybody's day?
Yeah.
And then you just grind and practice and drive 10 hours, practice, race, drive another 12 hours.
Yeah, edit,
yeah,
videos,
yeah,
film, race, practice. Like, it's a full, it's so much work. Yeah,
it's a gnarly lifestyle. I'm always blown away when you tell me how many miles you put in your van.
Yeah, too many miles.
How many you got out now?
I think in 2 years I've done 130,000 miles.
That's impressive.
So, like, mile to van out in 2 years pretty much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go East Coast to West Coast, yeah, like, East numerous Coast, times.
That's insane. I kind of backed off on the hardened rail, and I only did one this year. I did the full series last year.
TKO this year, right?
I did TKO on an electric bike.
Yeah.
And then I did Tough Like Roar in Pennsylvania on a 300 two-stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun. Like, I feel like the less I ride hard enduro now, just because I took it so seriously for the last couple years,
you're like,
I feel like I'm getting better.
Yeah.
Like, the less I ride, the better I get. It's so weird. And I, like, want to ride more, too. Last year, I was so burnt out. I was driving my van more than I was racing, and I was just burnt out. And now I actually want to ride. Like, David, like, you've seen it. We went out to that little track just here in town, and I was like, just, that was like the most fun I've had all year, just riding a little moto track.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get it on a way smaller scale. Like, bikes are still kind of new to me. Like, I'm like 5 years deep, but if I, like, don't ride, it gets so hot here in the summer that I just don't want to ride.
It's too hot.
If I don't ride for a month and get back on it, I feel like I got better. It's because I, like, almost forgot, like, bad habits I'd started to form.
Yeah.
And it's like a blank slate. And I was like, dude, why am I, like, better than I was when I was riding 3 days a week?
Yeah, I feel that, like, for me now, if I don't ride a lot during the week, I'll, like, feel fatigued on the bike. But if I stay up with my riding, I can just, like, but I'll ride everything now. I'll just go, like, I've been doing a lot of, like, mountain biking and just, like, hard enduro one day, endurocross another day, moto the next day, trials the next day, just trail rides with my buddies the next day. Like, I just try to, like, keep it different, whereas last year it was hard enduro 7 days a week till the weekend, race the weekend, and then hard enduro till the next race every single day. Yeah. And it was just like training for the racing, and I just wasn't getting to do the other fun stuff.
What's a training day look like for that, though? Because those are 5 hour races through hell, hell basically. So, like, how do you mimic like training for that?
Like, honestly, you just go out and you either ride till a bike breaks, you get hurt, or you run out of gas.
Yeah.
Those are, like, literally,
just keep pushing.
Yeah. I do a lot of training with Tristan Hart. If you watch the enduro stuff, he's like the hard enduro champion of the US and doing, like, big stuff in the World Series stuff too. And he's like, I do a lot of training with him, and it's aggressive days because he's a lot, like, I can do everything he does, but he definitely pushes the limits. And I try to push the limits too. Like, he'll push my limits on some stuff, and then there'll be some lines that I could do that he can't really do. So I try to push him, and it's gnarly. It's just,
is there, like, any stopping, or are you just going?
No,
for
we
hours?
Just go. It's like, when I'm with him, it's not a film day. I'm not allowed to film because it takes too long. Like, you can't stop. I'm not even allowed to take an Instagram video. He's pissed. If I try to pull up my phone and get a video, he is, like, actually mad.
Yeah.
So those days, like, with Tristan training with him, it's no phones, like, no breaks. We just literally ride
so
till
gnarly.
The only way you can get out of him stopping is a bike breaking, getting hurt, or, like, running out of gas. But even if you get hurt, one time we were riding and I fell and I thought I broke my hip. I, like, pinched my sciatic nerve in my hip so bad and I couldn't walk. And I made him double me out of the trails. And he took me into the hospital and he was so mad that I had cut his training short. He wouldn't even wheel me in to the hospital and I couldn't walk. And he goes, I just remember him, like, slamming the door of the van, and he's like, if you don't send me a photo of a broken bone, he's like, I'm not coming to pick you up. So I was like, dude, like,
that's
just
commitment.
I know. He's just, and then he went back out and kept riding. I was like, dude, I'm like dying over here. And he just didn't even care. I was like, it was pretty bad.
That's why he sweeps everything, I guess, though. That yeah. nickname, the robot, is he lives up to it, dude. It's gnarly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Hardendurl thing is, we talk about it quite a bit on here because it's the closest crossover, I think, for like backcountry sledding.
For sure.
Like mindset and yeah. not having a conventional trail. Like you're yeah. not, it's not like there's a defined path.
Yeah, no.
You're kind of trying to figure out traction and where you can carry momentum through the most. And I think a lot of listeners, there's a lot of guys that ride track for sure, but there's a lot that ride enduro stuff.
Yeah.
And I could, it kind of was proof in the pudding when we took you sledding for the first time. I mean, the first time you were terrible.
I think I remember but, like David throws me on his sled and he's like, yeah, you gotta go sledding today. And I'm riding up the trail and I have no clue. I've never even rode a sled in a field or nothing. So I just jump on it and I don't even know like how to lean or anything. And we're like, we get to this hill and it's so big and I was so scared because
it was
I,
pack trail hill.
I know. Yeah, it was a pack trail hill, but I was still so scared because it like I know if you crash, it's like such an expensive machine and I yeah. could crash a dirt bike 100 times and spend $5
yeah.
and you crash a sled once and you just rode it off.
Yeah.
So I was like the most scared ever. Like it feels like you're like driving a Lamborghini for me. Like I don't even want to get close to the trees.
But the way you picked it up, like you're not going to give yourself enough credit. When you were up in BC, you were riding like what some guys after maybe like their full first season on like day three will do. And I think that Hardenduro, like, I don't know if it's just body positioning or always being ready to get bucked.
Yeah.
Like, kind of played into it.
I feel like the throttle control is huge. And just, like, knowing like, the traction is huge because well, you can feel it.
Snowpack's changing constantly.
Yeah, you can feel, like, I could feel the track digging. Like, I feel like a lot of people that don't ride moto and just sled, they're not going to be able to tell as good as what the track's doing. I could feel the track yeah. doing so much just like, and listening as well, like yeah. listening to the RPM and stuff. And
yeah.
just, I don't know. I did a clinic with Brett and I feel like I was one of the only guys that didn't really get stuck.
Yeah.
And it was an advanced intermediate and some of the other guys, they would just get stuck. But if I felt myself getting stuck, I feel like I would change my body positioning and like get the weight back,
stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's yeah. just literally, it's so much crossed over. I felt yeah.
like you were constantly like, I remember when watching you at Silver one time when you were going up like, oh gosh, what
that
is
that shale hill?
Yeah, and
I remember,
you, and you
yeah.
were backing up, packing your run yeah. to grab traction.
Yeah,
like, little things like that, and it's just loading the clutch.
I right. see you guys doing that on jumps.
Yeah,
like.
Pack and run-ins.
You guys
and
pack the run-ins and stuff and yeah. to like make it and you like yeah I definitely see you guys
but
doing that.
That's the crazy thing about sleds is just when you think you figure it out, there's like 10 different types of snowpack.
It's the
and
hardest
the sled
thing
reacts
in the world.
Totally different. The front end reacts different, the traction's different. Like
I think sledding is honestly the hardest thing in the world.
I love hearing that.
I feel like I've done
I think dirt bikes are the hardest thing in the world.
I think I've done like I've had to have done every single sport, like action sports for sure.
Yeah,
like I've tried everything. Just I mean, that's what you do when you're just into sports. You
hot,
just do sports.
Hot take here. As a moto guy, what do you think of snow bikes?
They're actually fun.
Okay.
Like, they're honestly fun, but there is downsides, and I could see the downsides the second I was on it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so cool. They're, like, going downhill and, like, just popping off pillows and stuff is yeah. so fun. And it's yeah, it's I don't know. It's fun and it's easy to learn for me coming across because I'm not learning that yeah. much. It's just literally all I'm learning is like what I can go up and what I can't go up.
There's a lot of moto guys that want to get into backcountry and they go right to a snow bike just because it's natural.
For sure. It was,
but
it was
I don't
easy.
Know, dude. I push like guys to try a sled because it's like, I don't, it's so much more technical. There's two ways because you can cover so much ground on a snow bike with limited experience. But they're definitely, like, robbed on some fun factor.
I think, from my perspective, I don't think snow biking would make you much of a better dirt biker, but yeah. sledding would make you a better dirt biker.
I actually feel like snow bikes would make you a lazier dirt biker.
I think it
like
will,
you
too.
Because you get so
you
used
just sit
to
down. I feel like there's so many times where, like, I was just pinned, and I couldn't really do much other than just, like, just sit down and just like, there's not much more you can do, and you don't really need to do anything. But like Regan, the snow bike guy,
yeah,
I mean, the stuff he's doing, I don't even understand how he's doing it.
Momentum he carries, yeah, and, yeah,
because I was like, oh, I could hit like some jumps, and then you come into it and you're like carrying good speed, and then all of a sudden you're just, and there's nothing, and it's so weird to. I don't
his
get
bikes
how he gets,
are so dialed though.
I don't know.
Like,
yeah,
he's
maybe,
been doing that for 10 years and has it like figured out.
Yeah, I think the more
you need to ride with him sometime, it's fun to watch him on that thing. Because I'm sweet. Like, man, you make that look like a blast.
Yeah, no, it is fun. It was really fun snow biking, and I definitely was super comfortable. Like you guys were putting me on top of drops,
mm-hmm.
bigger drops than I would do on my skis, and I used to freestyle ski. Yeah. And I'm just hucking these things on a snow bike, and it's my third day on a snow bike ever, and we're hucking like 20-foot waterfalls, and I wouldn't even do that on skis. So
Spenny, your next big crossover athlete in the works here.
I'm trying to go. I'm going full pro. I'm going pro sledder. That's my goal.
Yeah, I'm pumped to get you on snow again this year, but it's so fun following your dirt program because it's just – all over the place.
I don't know. I just try to keep it fun. I'm to the point now where like I've done so many races, I'm just like looking for different stuff to ride over now. Like I feel like I've like a log to me isn't cool anymore.
Yeah. But to that, you did, I don't think there's been enough emphasis on this. You got the first ever like AMA electric bike championship.
Yeah.
AMA so, sanctioned. That's huge, dude.
At a Red Bull race too, which is cool. So yeah, got the AMA national plate for the world's first ECR AMA championship e-moto.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a lot. But no, that's like cool. But it's just the whole e-thing's cool even now too. Like those bikes are insane.
That bike, when I rode that thing, having a clutch, game changer on an electric bike.
So you rode the electric dirt bike, but What are your thoughts on an electric sled? Do you think it's coming?
There's a brand out there right now trying to make them, but they're super heavy.
But I'm talking like a two spec, like spec to spec electric sled against your gas one.
The batteries, the technology's got to get a little more advanced for the cold.
It's going to have to get there at some point.
It's like, what do you do if it dies? Out there, you have to bring a generator,
solar panels.
Yeah, like you can't just like have your buddy with a jerry can.
Better hope it's a bluebird day too.
No shit. I've thought about that because I don't know.
Dude,
go back.
How sick would for me being an electric dirt bike? Like I'm not a full time electric dirt biker now, but just like even you riding the Saran, how cool is it when you're just like all you hear is just the trees brushing up against you? Imagine how quiet it would be, like cutting curves.
You're losing me.
You wouldn't like that? Just to hear it though, like
no.
You would hear different things. I feel like I hear different things on the electric bike.
I'm here for like either blow off valve on the turbo or twin pipes screaming. Like
that's fair.
You can't replace that. And I think it'd be super weird because I have like, and maybe you can relate to this on a bike. I like get used to hearing the RPM.
Yeah. You need that.
Yeah.
Need
and that. Not hearing that, I feel
it
like
makes it harder for
it'd
sure.
It'd be weird to learn the power curve.
It's weird. Yeah. The power curve is way different. You can't, it's like you don't hear the RPM, but you listen to the sound of the tire spinning on the ground.
Like power delivery wise on a sled, it'd probably be pretty similar because there are no gears already. Yeah. So it's like same as electric, just one CVT clutch and go.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be, that'd be kind of easy, but the battery life is like, what do? You could bring a gas powered generator out there to recharge your electric sled. Like,
I don't know, but I think it would still be cool just to like burn around on one a little bit. Like, I'm not saying you got to go full time electric sled,
but
just
to
ride
it.
Just to try it. Like, I think it would be pretty sick.
I know Ski-Doo's came out with a trail one, Polaris's, I think, too, or I don't remember, vaguely remember something about an article.
It's coming, it's gonna come.
There's this other company called, what is it, like Taiga or something like that?
Mm.
That's making electric mountain sleds or trying, but I think they're all battling the battery issues.
Yeah.
Cause
no, it's definitely,
I seriously don't know what you do if it dies. If you have a backcountry electric sled.
I'm not saying that gas is going to die one day, but I'm saying there's going to be a market for electric for sure.
Totally.
I think it'll be cool. Like, I don't know.
It'll be fun, but Yeah,
I was never a while. I was never like an electric guy, but I'm not closed off to trying new things. Yeah, yeah. Like I never was like growing up. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be an electric dirt biker, and I'm never gonna ride a gas bike ever again. Yeah. Even now, I think the electric bike makes me a better gas rider, and the gas rider makes me, or my gas bikes make me a better on my electric bike. I think like both, like crossing them both is huge.
See, the thing I like about the electric bike is without a clutch, dude, that's my biggest thing. I can do pivot, like circle wheelies forever on my Suron.
And it makes you more comfortable too.
Yeah. But like I said, that dude, like when I take my Suron out when it's colder, the battery's just like dropping. So I don't know. They'd have to have like a heater on the batteries or something. Some serious regen.
Yeah.
On a sled there's a lot of rotating mass in the track.
Yeah, they're huge. So much weight.
So who knows? Eventually, I'm sure. I bet in the next 5 years it'll be like pretty competitive in the backcountry.
Yeah. But or imagine like an electric sled going up Jackson Hole.
Yeah. You would just hear the suspension pounding through ruts.
You would just hear wind.
It would probably sound painful because all you hear is suspension.
That's how the e-bikes sound. It's just a lot of chain slap and like. When you like racing the e-bike in Tennessee, it's really rocky, and I'd be ripping through a rock guard, and I would just metal skid plate to a rock, and it would sound
so bad.
Yeah. And all the fans would be like, "Oh, like they think it's breaking," but I'm like, "No, it's just like this is a normal noise. You just don't hear it on the gas bike. Right. Like it is something that happens, but you just don't hear it."
Which, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like you would hear different things on the electric sled that you wouldn't normally hear on the gas sled.
So I remember growing up, my mom had this like Skidoo had this motor called the Ace, and it was this little four stroke, but it was like close to electric sounding. It was completely silent, and you take it on a trail, and all you would hear is the skis on the like groom trail, like scraping.
Yeah, that's like it's
it was like weird noise. And then you hear the track whining. And you wouldn't hear the motor at all. So it was bizarre.
The weird thing for me on the e-bike is when you get roosted, you hear like rocks pinging off the triple clamps.
I bet.
And just the noise of the roost hitting your helmet is so weird. It's just like,
I can see that.
And you just hear these weird little like your ticking noises.
Are like amplified.
It's so crazy like riding the e-bike. And the weirdest thing for me is the rocks hitting the fork guard or hitting the forks and like the triple clamps. It's just like ping, ping,
I can
ping,
see that.
And hitting like the frame and the pipe. And like, it's just so, I guess it doesn't have a pipe, but hitting the frame and like, it's just, it's the weirdest thing is the roost for me and like hitting it. Like the roost on the goggle lens is
can hear that too, huh?
It's so much louder than you would think. Yeah. Like you don't hear that when you're riding a dirt, like when you're on a gas bike.
Yeah.
But the roost, that bounces up the lens,
the helmet almost.
Dude, it like echoes off. It's crazy. It's like a different experience that you've never even felt before.
It's like you're at the IMAX.
Yeah, it's like surround sound
like,
riding.
Whoa.
It's weird.
Yeah, you hear birds.
Yeah, no, literally, you hear like birds. You can hear like a guy frame case a jump from across the track on his gas bike.
You hear the guy shotgunning beers on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You could probably hear all like the comments to you too, huh?
Like racing.
You ever heard
it?
Anybody like chirping you?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So at Nashville, I'm like huge crowd along the side of the rock gardens. And you're riding through and there's gas bikes around me. So you can't really tell I'm on the e-bike till I get there.
Yeah.
And I'm like riding and you can hear people. Oh, they're like, oh, that's 17. That's the e-bike. And like they're surprised. Like you can tell they're surprised because I'm with the gas bikes. Like I'm battling.
But you can hear
I'm like in the top 20 on an e-bike against the gas bike. And they're like, oh, that's the guy on the e-bike. And I'm like, dude, it's like kind of awkward a little bit. Cause like,
you should like respond and be like, yeah, that's me. I can hear you.
Yeah. And another like weird thing too is hearing people be like, they're like, oh, that's the e-bike. And then they would say, they're like, listen to it. It sounds like it's going to break. And like, you can hear them saying that. And like, I'm kind of wondering, like, is it going to break? Like, is it breaking right now? But it's just chain slap.
Can you see
like,
something I can't see?
That's exactly what, like, I heard somebody say, they're like, oh, it sounds like it's breaking. So I'm looking around. I'm like riding, trying to find out if it's actually breaking, but it wasn't. It was just the chain slap. Like, they're not even used to the spectators aren't even used to the
noise. It's a new experience for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just so weird.
So bizarre. Speaking of that, I know a lot of people probably know you from Hill Sea Boys. You've done a few viral clips with them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's never planned.
No, that's
it's never planned stuff, though. It's always just like, I don't even know what I'm getting into. But yeah, shout out to David for getting me in to go in it. I didn't even know. David, for backstory here, David knows the Sea Boys good. I didn't even really know who they were when you told me about them.
Which is crazy, because they're like right up your alley.
Yeah, like I'm just not a big YouTube guy, honestly. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't have known. And like, I don't really step out of my racer industry. Like right, I was in the right. big racer industry, and that's why I didn't know.
And you're traveling and doing all this crap.
Yeah, traveling and just whatever. But so David's like, hey, there's these Sea Boys guys. And he's like, you got to go hang out or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And he's like, they just got a moto track. So I look at the moto track. I'm like, dude, this thing's sick. Like, I have to go yeah. ride the moto track. So I think 2 years ago, I stopped in.
Was that 2 years ago already?
I think it was 2 years. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, 2 years. Well, last year.
Yeah, was that so, last summer?
Last summer.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Anyways, so, yeah. almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So, last summer, stopped in at their place, and I had never met them. And I just messaged.
Just throw a camera in front of your face right away?
Well, it wasn't really like that, but, like, they knew I rode dirt bikes, but, and I didn't really know what they did either. Like, yeah. I knew they made YouTube videos, but I didn't really, like, I watched a couple, and I was like, oh, they're actually good videos. And then I kind of got, like, addicted, and I think I watched all of them now. Like, yeah, they're honestly sweet videos. Like, I like them. And it was kind of funny. So David's like, yeah, just stop in. Like, and I didn't even know what I was getting into. So I stop in, and I like hang out with them for the day. We get dinner and stuff. And then they're like, the next day comes and we're ready to get riding. And I just put my gear on. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go ride the moto track. And then I think Micah and Evan, I was hanging out with them a bunch because they're kind of like the bike guys.
Yeah.
So we were just chilling and like whatever. And then we go out to the track and I just start riding around and we're just messing around. And then they come up and they just throw the camera on me. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
With those big tires? Was that that
yeah,
point?
So, yeah. Well, the tires were just in the background. So yeah. We're riding the moto track. I'm just like throwing some whips and stuff and just like ripping around. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
And then I like pull over, like we stop riding. And they're kind of filming a little bit, but at the same time, I was like, well, like I wasn't really doing anything. So I was like,
they were stoked.
They were stoked still, which was sick.
That was why I told them, like, they knew they were looking for somebody to like do something cool and do some track stuff. And yeah. I'm like, oh, I got a guy.
That was sick. Like, it was probably like, it is like one of my highlights in my career for sure. It was like so cool to go there. But yeah, we're just chilling. And there's this like huge tractor tire thing. And it's not an obstacle. It was just off the side of the track, like four tires in a row with another tire stacked on and then one more.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, like, can I ride over these? And they're like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, why not? And
they're
like, how? Yeah, they're like, how? Like, what do you mean you're going to ride over them? I was like, well, just let me try to ride over them. So I just like popped up onto it. And then I was riding across the three, popped up onto the first, onto the top one. And they're just like, they lost it. They're like, they're just like, what? Like, what did you just
do? Well, they had just been at Gold Creek, I think.
Yeah.
And so I remember telling them, like, they just got their asses kicked doing hard enduro.
And I did watch that video.
I was like, I got a guy that will blow your mind in hard enduro stuff. And they were like, yeah, this will be cool. This will be cool. And I remember texting you. I'm like, do some hard enduro stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be mind blown.
Yeah, yeah. So I just rode over some tires and then I like crashed and they didn't really want me to do it, which was cool because like they're like, oh, we don't want you to get hurt. And I was like, but I have to do it now. Yeah. Like now that I've tried now that I've tried it and I've almost done it, like I have to do it.
Yeah.
Like that's just the way it is when you like even when we go out doing hardener, like you know that. If there's a hill climb and you make it halfway up,
oh yeah.
You don't leave till you make it. Like
yeah, eat at you the rest of the day.
Yeah, you just can't leave with not make like I hate doing that. So we spent like 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and I'm just riding over these tractor tires crashing. And then I finally got it, and it was so sick because it was huge. Like, it was a big line for me even, but I just, it was cool to do.
It was like six of them in a row, wasn't it?
It was four singles, and then two were stacked on top of each other, and then one more single.
They were open, too.
They were open. They weren't filled. Pop up onto one, ride across three, pop up onto one more. So you're like, when you pop up onto the second one, you're like I don't know.
They're like 6 feet in the air, it looked like.
Probably a bit higher than that. Like, yeah. They're 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
You're like 8 feet up in the air, plus you're on the bike. So, like, almost 12 feet, I'd say. Yeah. 4 feet, 4 feet with your on the bike, and then 4 feet each tire.
Yeah.
So you're like pretty high in the air. And I get up on and then ride off and just like almost dropped my front tire into the hole. The
yeah, that's
one.
What I remember seeing.
Almost. Like, it would have been straight over the bars. But no, it was cool to do that. And then from there on, they're just like, if you see anything you want to ride on, just ride on whatever you want.
Yeah. And did that big wood pile.
So that, yeah, we did the big wood pile and then it was good. And then, yeah. And then we just rode moto and whatever, did some boating and I got to see their whole setup of how they do stuff, which was cool.
It was so funny. Ryan called me. He's like, dude, this Spenny guy, he just like went over all these huge like tractor tires, like tractors. And then we had this huge burn pile. He went over it like it was like it wasn't even there. And then my favorite part was I think you didn't have.
Oh, we did the rail grind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we did. That's what the big one was.
I think you didn't have anywhere to be for a while, so you were like you were there for a while, weren't you?
Well,
was
I just
the, was it the
I
first only, time or second time?
It was my first time going, and I showed up expecting just to be there for like a night because I like didn't want to like overstay or whatever. But then they're like, you have to stay. Like, we're filming next week. Like, you got to stay and hang out. And, like they're like, you can't leave. Like, what do you mean you're leaving?
That's what Micah said. He's like, yeah, Spenny's just kind of been here. And, like, we're, like, really sad he's leaving.
Dude, it was, like, so sick. Honestly, like, yeah, it was cool. They just treated me like family.
You've had kind of, like, some viral clips through their stuff now. The limo jump and everything. Dude. Are you? Here's what I'm getting at. Are you becoming the, hey, man, I know you from C-Boys, or are you getting the more Spenny? I know you from Enduro and all the other stuff.
I'd say a good in between. Like, there's definitely some people that are like, I feel like I've seen you before. And I'm like, and then they realize and they're like, oh, you filmed, like you did some dirt bike stuff with the C-Boys. And then they actually follow along and they're like, you do more cool stuff
which is
other
cool.
than that,
yeah.
which is cool. But I mean, I don't know. It's cool. But I think the biggest clip I did with them was the inflatable, driving up the inflatable. That's
that was gnarly.
For my clips, for my self-posting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that one got, I thought the limo was going to go huge.
Yeah.
Which it was the sickest one to do for me. Like, that was insane. Like, to really,
kind of gnarly.
To wheelie across the roof of a limo, jumping off of a mini truck is insane.
Yeah.
Like, who even thought of that? Who thought of that?
10 years ago, would you ever guess that one?
No.
Hey, you're going to be in a farm field in Minnesota, and you're going to wheelie across a bunch of YouTubers' limo.
No, it was insane.
Think of that scenario.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who thought of that idea? Like, where did that come to be a thing? But the inflatable clip got huge views. It went like 5 mil on TikTok, and then a couple, dang. I think maybe 2 mil on Insta.
Yeah.
And it was just literally it was a crash. Well, I mean, it wasn't really a crash. I did crash, but the bike didn't crash. The bike stayed straight up.
Yeah.
And then I just slid down the inflatable with my holding onto the grip.
What do you think somebody in your position, racing so many different styles from arena cross to enduro to the electric thing, like, is social media kind of what you need to be on top of to stand out from the rest? Granted, I don't, this isn't like a dig at all. Like, if you're not winning things like being like Tristan Hart, who's unstoppable, right? Like, obviously that's what's putting him on the map.
Yeah.
But he's not really big on the social front. Like, for you, do you see more benefit? I personally think there's more benefit of being heavy on the social front than even win races sometimes. The winning thing is sick. Like, you go down in history, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's your goal.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're more relatable to the average person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can kind of go both ways with it. Like, Billy Bolt and Manny Lettenbeckler are doing both.
Yeah, Billy like, kills
they're real, Billy's insane at both.
He's so funny, too.
And he's funny, which is like, I don't know. Like, he's doing it, and he has probably the biggest fan base because of the YouTube stuff.
Yeah, true.
Like, he does crazy stuff, but people are actually seeing the crazy stuff.
Right.
Tristan Hart does crazy stuff, but nobody sees it.
Yeah.
They just see the race wins.
But there's different, yeah, I guess. I mean, there's two different types of people. There's guys that just want to go out and be the greatest of all time. And, like,
Dungy, Tristan Hart, like, they don't care about what people see, they just want to win themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel like Billy Bolt wants to show people what, like, he likes doing it. Like, and that's like me too. I feel like I'm more of an entertainer than I am a racer. Like, totally. I like to race, but I feel like I'm so good at entertaining. Yeah. Like, when a camera gets on me, I just want to do stuff and show people like cool things. Like, I just feel like I'm more of an my personality is more of a entertainer style than like a racer style, even though the racing's still cool.
You got the skill set to back it though too. Cause like all those years of racing from the moto track to enduro, all those different disciplines, like you got the unique scenario. Prime example, like on Buttery and Medium, when Medium went to go do like enduro cross, he's a phenomenal dirt bike rider.
Yeah.
Terrible at that, but there's not many guys that have both kind of on lock, like so that's kind of opens a door for you to be able to do these weird jib things and these unique things.
Joke with them too, even, is like we always go to the moto track and I'll try to just throw huge whips off the jumps
on an enduro bike,
but then there'll be a massive rock line in the parking lot that's just a display.
Yeah.
And I'll ride over to the display and people are like, and they think it's hilarious. They're like, dude, there's literally a perfectly groomed track right there and you're gonna ride over in the rocks in the parking lot. So it's kind of, I just like doing different stuff and trying to like stand out. And honestly, it's like the same thing as sledding. It's just creativity. Like,
Well, you do a good job out there
and do like the laps like everybody else, or you can just jump some rocks and do the laps and do all of it. I just want to do as much cool stuff as possible.
I feel like people talk about that more too, like especially if it's say some massive track, like I don't know, like Glen Helm, right? Something that everybody knows. And then like, but do you remember that video where the dude was like just like dabbing in the parking lot and like loading the clutch over the rocks in the parking lot?
There's a funny joke about that.
That stands out to people.
There's a funny joke. We went to Arizona Cycle Park, which is a big moto track in Phoenix. And they have a sign that says ACP made out of telephone poles. So I'm just like, dude, I should ride over the telephone poles and we should film it. And we film it and they see the video. Like, somebody watched the video on YouTube and saw me riding over the poles. And it's just literally logs on the ground. Like, it's just logs laid on the ground. It's not like it's a big thing that they paid a bunch of money to landscape it. And it was just...
So is it like you only can read it if you're like looking
over? It's on the side of a hill. It's on the side of a hill and it just says ACP and you can see it when you pull in. So I was like, I'm going to ride over these logs. So I ride over them and then they see the track, sees it on YouTube, screenshots it, puts it on their story. And they say, I don't think they tagged me cause they didn't really know who I was, but they're like, please don't ride over our sign. And it was just like so funny to me cause it's telephone poles just on the ground. Like,
it's probably kind of technical or no?
It was technical too. And it was sick for the video. Yeah. Like it was like a little matrix, like just a little log line. It was ACP and logs, and I just like hopped across it. I thought it was sweet.
But like, who's this guy? This is not what this place is for.
Yeah, but I'm sure like they had to have got a laugh. Like what? Yeah. Like what are they thinking when they see me riding across their sign? They're like, what?
What's cool. Like? I know with your gas deal, you train at like KTM stuff a lot.
Yeah,
is that like the best of the best as far as training facilities go?
Yeah, or, for sure.
Like, are they changing like the Endurocross setup? Is it like every time you get back there, it's different? Or
they like the way they built the track, there's so many different variables and you can make any track you want. So it's basically just 15 lanes and you can link them together any way you want.
Like corn maze and almost like skip a row. And
you could skip a row or you can go around one, like there's five rock sections. So you could do a track with all five rock sections, or you could do a track with two rock sections and they all link together. Like you can just link, like, it's just up to us to make the tracks. If we want to ride a track with no matrix or no rock section, we can link it together where we just ride the outside and do rhythm sections. It's the sickest place ever. Watering system on an iPhone, they press a button and the water the sprinklers turn on and water the track perfectly. Damn. It's insane. Like in between practice, you always see like the manager, he's on his iPhone and you're like, what's he doing? And then you just see the sprinklers turn come on. And it's just, dude, it's insane. Like
Is Husky, KTM, Gas all train there?
Yeah, they're all there. Yeah. But so it's usually just like me and then Tristan Hart, Colton Haker,
yeah.
Ryder LeBlanc, like their factory dudes, Taddy yeah. Blazusiak's usually there.
I saw the tour because didn't they just get a new building?
Yeah, they got a new building that's just across the road.
Tour of that, and it's insane. I can't, how the factory teams all have their own separate. Like,
yeah, so everybody has their every rider has their own separate bay.
Yeah,
and they have like their name on it and stuff. And then I'm not actually a supported rider anymore for Gas, but they still support me because I do like a lot for them. I help Tristan training and stuff.
Right,
and
right.
That's why I get to go there is because I'm helping Tristan train. A lot of the times it's me going and it's just like pinball practice for Tristan. And he's just T-boning me in corners, practicing, like passing people. I'm like,
you're the passing victim.
Yeah. I'm literally the pylon. It's like I'm a pylon out there.
He's like, how aggressive can I this pass? Seriously. If it's still being clean?
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah,
just, I don't know. Practicing passing people and
yeah,
it's just fun. We're just keeping it fun.
That's sick. Well, with all being said, you're diverse, dude. Like, you're killing it.
And I'm coming for the snow.
I was just
gonna
say, I think this winter's your winter. Get you on a sled a little more because I can see it in you. You talk about it all the time. You're always chatting with our pro team on the snow side and like, yeah. Dude, let me try. Let me get on a sled. Let me ride.
I think it's so cool. It's funny because I've been joking with David too about you're always like, I need a jersey for my wall. You need to sign me a jersey. And I've been joking with David. I'm like, David, you got to sign me a sled. Like, I'm a huge fan. Just sign me one of your
you
sleds.
Just think like, oh, then you get to keep it.
So I can start sledding.
I'll sign you a side panel.
I'll start with a side panel.
And then you can buy the rest of the parts and build one.
And then next year, sign me like a frame. And then the next year, sign me like a motor.
And track. Eventually, in 10 years, I'll have a complete sled that's 10 years old.
Or what I need to do is I need to go to like one of the big sled events and just go to like the trailers and be like, hey, Jay Menterbury, I'm a huge fan. Can you sign me like a track? And I'll just build my own. Yeah, I'll piece together my own sled. That's what I need to do.
I think you need to run Jackson. I think that's your goal. You need to put, okay, here's the deal. We're going to make this deal right now. Okay. You get in at least 10 days between now and Jackson, which is the end of March. You run amateur.
I'm in.
It's just half hill. I'll run it also.
You're going to run amateur? You got to run pro.
No,
you're my favorite sledder.
I don't know. I'd maybe run semi-pro. At Jackson, it's gnarly. But if you run Jackson, I'll run Jackson.
Should we run Jackson?
Yeah.
Should we run it?
Well, Ross has to too. Ross and I keep talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring Ross into this.
Who else? We think, so here's what we've been talking about. Tristan and then Stephen Clark and I.
Oh, yeah.
We said there needs to be a media guy class.
Media guy class. So filmer
like
class.
Todd Williams, he's a legendary photographer, good sledder. Like Mike Reeve up in Canada. Like have like six of us in like
a filmer class.
A media class. And it's just the battle of the media guys on sleds for Jackson.
What's like the, I need to like shave my mustache and try to get into like the youth class or something so I can actually compete.
The juniors?
Yeah, like what's the age limit? Like 16 or something?
That's somewhere around there, guys.
I feel like if I shave all my hair on my body, I'll just look young. And I'll just come out there and try to...
I think you run... I can't remember how it breaks down. It was like a... I think it was like a first-timers class, too.
Yeah, first-timer. I mean, I'm in. I want to do it. I think it'd be cool to do just to go...
That'd be sick.
Just to see it, even. I was actually in Jackson last week. And I was at the bottom of the hill and I looked up and it's literally a wall.
Yeah.
Like it literally looks like you're looking at a wall. It's insane. I didn't realize it was that gnarly.
You can stand when you're at the top, like on the right before where it crests the top, you can stand and touch the hillside.
It's insane. It's a wall.
And it turns into rocks, ice, dirt. It's just bomb holes.
I can't wait.
It's nasty.
I can't wait to go up it.
If you... I don't know when it's the last deadline to sign up, so maybe like March 1st or so we'll circle back.
Yeah.
If you sign up, I'm doing Jackson this year. It's on my bucket list.
It's on my bucket list.
It's more I just like get nervous even thinking about it right now, let alone like...
I feel like, is it bad that I'm not nervous? Like
I'm nervous because it's like, oh, you're like a dude in the industry, and then if I go up there and just embarrass myself and wad it on the first freaking...
It's worse for you.
Yeah.
If I crash, people will think it's cool, but if you crash, they're like, this guy's
actually... I'm going to get
canceled. Yeah, you might get canceled.
I might never do a podcast again.
Yeah, they might not allow you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a deal.
Jackson, it is.
Spenny, thank you. It's been long overdue. We've been talking about trying to align on this for a while. Plug yourself. What's coming up? Social media handle, YouTube channel. Where can everybody find you?
So, yeah, we've been filming a cool, like, Spenny 509 video series right now on YouTube with all the Endurocross series, kind of behind the scenes of, like, the pro class and trying to get in there and battle for the top 10 with the all the factory riders. Yeah, so
it's been fun to watch.
Go check that out. It's on my, it's just my name, Spencer Wilton, but Spencer with two S's, not go. A C.
I was going to say
and,
that.
And my Instagram, SpencerWilton17, and TikTok is all the same too, so.
Sick.
But yeah, let's see you in Jackson.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We will get you in the snow, get a few training days in. We got to build a rimshot course and get some practice days in if this is happening. And then maybe you'll see us two hooligans in the end of March.
I feel like I'm a hill climber.
Moto guy goes hill climber. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Oh, shit. Last thing. Yeah. If you're on YouTube, appreciate the comments. If you're on Spotify or Apple, as always, 5-star reviews. You guys keep pumping them out, and that pushes it out to more people so we can keep doing this thing. So appreciate it, and we will see you guys on the next one.